We're standing on holy ground this morning. Amen. A love worth having. A love worth having. You know what a love is not worth having? The love of the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We don't want to love this world. We want to love a love that's worth having. And thank God we've got a Savior worth knowing. Amen. So take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read 7 through 11, but before we do, I want us to quote two verses. I think we all know it. Let's all stand together. Let's quote John 3:16, okay? And then we'll read together 1 John 4, 7 through 11. If you don't know it, I think it's on the board. So let's read 16 and 17, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. You got your place? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son to the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Father, I thank you for your indescribable love. There's no way that I could get up here today and preach the love of God. There's just no way. I don't know how to even preach such an infinite subject, because that's who you are. You're infinite. But I pray for your Holy Spirit now, who is also infinite. And I pray for his anointing to be upon us today. God, may we turn our eyes upon Jesus today. He is love. And look full in his wonderful face. And I love that old song, that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and your grace. May we experience the glory and grace of God today through your love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. May be seated. Got a question for you. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Or would the prosecutor simply walk up and say, this must be some kind of mistake, just let him go? Or would they just find you guilty all over the place? I hope they'd find you guilty. Well, this is what the scripture says. Jesus said, this is how they will know you are of me, by your love one for another. So let me ask you another question. How much are you worth? You worth $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, $100,000? Do I hear more? Is anybody worth $200,000, half a million? You're worth a half a million? Okay. Do I have a million? Anybody? I need to raise money for the building program. I got a million back here. Anybody got a million and a half? Some of y'all not smiling. Some of you are just looking at me like, what? Well, $2. Now you know where I'm going. That's right, Carol. Carolyn says she's priceless. Well, let me tell you the truth. How much you're worth, you're to die for. That's what Jesus said. That's how much you're worth. Now, here's the problem. We don't think we're worth it. We really don't. In fact, we have a hard time with love because we don't even love us a lot of times. I mean, honestly, do you love yourself? Because the Bible says we're to love one another. Well, if you don't even know how to love yourself, how can you love others? You are worth something. You're worth much to God. No matter what has happened or what will happen, God still desires you. He wants you, and he wants to love you. Grace means that there's nothing I can do to make God love me more, and there's absolutely nothing I can do to make God love me less. When you know what you're worth, things change. Your life changes. What will you change about your life as you understand the value of what you're really worth in His eyes? For God so loved the world that He gave His all, His only begotten Son. The Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard told a story of thieves who broke into a jewelry store and didn't steal it, nothing. They simply changed the price tags. The next morning, the expensive jewelry was sold as junk, and the costume jewelry was sold as expensive. His point is obvious. We live in a world where someone has snuck in and changed the price tags. We used to love people and use things. Now we love things and use people. The price tag has been changed. The Bible teaches us about Adam and Eve. Now we have Adam and Steve. The price tag indeed has been changed. You fill out an information page at a doctor's office now and it says check one, male, female, or other. I thought it was just male or female. I didn't know there was another. But now on forms they have other. The tag has been changed. You climb the corporate ladder regardless of who gets hurt. Students have to bully each other because they don't feel loved and they don't want no one else to be loved. They have to put someone down in order for them to feel like that they can stand up. So they feel like they've got to bully someone. Someone has gone in and changed the price tag. What is love was the number one question Googled the last few years. People don't even know what love is, so I want to define it for you today. It's interesting. Isn't that interesting that that was the number one question? It started back in 2012. Number one question, what is love? Well, number one, a love worth having comes from God. So we're going to define what love is. John 3:16, you all know it. So let's break it down so we can all understand it. Number one, the source of love. It says, for God so loved. 1 John 7:8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. What is he saying? Well, the source of love is God. In other words, humankind has no way of loving outside of God. God is love, and we're not capable of even loving outside of God. He is the source. And if you study this, you would know it. Folks, without God, what would the Garden of Eden be? It'd be chaos. It'd be a mess. It'd be nothing but hate. But God created man. And listen, I'm going somewhere, and he created woman. And what did he want but fellowship? He had so much love in him, he had to give it away, and he wants to receive it back. You know what worship is? It's a love offering. The whole time, we offer ourselves in our love for our God. He is the source of love. Number two, the scope of love. The world, yellow, black, white, they're all precious in his sight. We have a major problem in America today. We are a divided nation. Races are more divided than ever. Someone said we have a race problem in America. I want to take it further. I think we have a sin problem in America. That's where the real problem is. No one wants to call it what it is. God loves every single person, every people group, every nation, the whole wide world. God is in love with the human race. That's the scope of his love. And then something we're going to get a little deep right now, the sacrifice of love. You see, it says that he gave his one and only. He gave his only. Do you understand that God gave himself when he said that? He submitted to his own godly nature. Now, he uses the word in 1 John, verse 10 there, chapter 4, propitiation. The propitiation does not preclude his love or make his love loving. It only renders it consistent for him to exercise his love towards sinners. The word propitiation means sacrifice, and that's what he did. He gave of himself, out of himself. You've got to understand this. He gave himself. He submitted to his own godly nature. He obeyed what was in his heart for you and toward you, which was love. That is the incarnation. God became flesh for us so he could sacrifice himself from the cross. Love costs something. It costs Jesus his all. We should give 10% of our living and 100% of our life. He gave his all. We should learn what love is. And then the Son of Love. He says in verse 16, John 3:16, beloved Son, God's only Son, God's beloved Son, God's love is worth having because he gave the best that he could give, his one and only darling, precious Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and I. Someone ought to have a spell about now, because I'm telling you something, he gave up his best for you. And if you were the only person living, Jesus still would have died for you. You say, I don't believe he loves me that much. Then you don't believe the Bible. For God so loved the world, that includes you, right? Yeah, that includes you. You're a part of the world. And he died for you. See what I'm trying to get you to see here? This love that's worth having, it comes from God. We can't have it apart from God, but because of God, we have it. Hello? We have it. Because of the Son of his love, that God loved you so much that he was willing to give his Son, his all. Think about this now. And he turned his back on his Son, but he'll never turn his back on you. He turned his back on his Son because Jesus became sin on the cross. He took your sin in mine. And that's the next thing, the Savior of love. That whosoever believeth on him, we have a love worth having because we have a Savior worth knowing. Think about it. That whosoever believeth in him, 1 John 4:15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Confess with your mouth, but also believe in your heart. And as I've tried to teach you, your belief is what you live, not what you say, right? And that's what you can say, I love God. But if you don't obey God, Jesus said, you don't love me, okay? Because if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then one I almost left out, or two, really. I mean, this thing gets deep. John 3:16 is the gospel. It's deep. The salvation of love. The Bible says that they should not perish. You will never perish. You may feel worthless, and you may walk around with a low self-esteem, but you've been accepted by Jesus Christ. You are a child of the King. You are a princess, ladies. We are sons and daughters of God. Amen. We call each other brother and sister. At Gorge Springs, we call it band of brothers, circle of sisters. How can we do this? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the one I almost left out. I wouldn't want to leave this one out. The security of love. You know, man, you know the one thing your wife wants is security. Yeah, she does. She wants to feel secure in that relationship. She wants to know that you're going to be there for her through the good times and the bad. So like a church, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness or in health. By the way, if you love each other, you stick with each other. Isn't that the way a marriage works? Well, I didn't like the way she looked. Well, have you looked in the mirror, buddy? I mean, you know, you're not, yeah, that's right. You're not no princess yourself. You know how I know that? My brother told me that one time. I said, well, she don't look so good some mornings. My brother said, well, you go look in the mirror then. You don't look so good either. You know, it's easy to look at somebody else and say, well, you don't look good, but have you taken a look? You know, the Bible says get the beam out of your eye before you try to get the splinter out of someone else's eye. And by the way, you married her. You know, in marriage counseling, I often sit there at my desk and I think this, well, you married her. You married him. Amen. I mean, wake up. You loved her. You loved him. Then don't ever stop love. Because you know what? God's love don't end. For better, for worse, for richer, poor, in sickness, or in health. The security of love. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin or death is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me tell you something about this love worth having. It's for eternity because he gives you life that's everlasting. You say, well, I don't know if I can have that security. Well, one day you'll know for sure. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself. And there where I am, there you will be also. You're going to be where I am because I love you, and I'm coming back to get you, church. The security of the love of God is Jesus himself. You're secure in his arms, amen? All right, now we're going to go. A love worth having, not only does it teach us something about the source of God's love and how that God's love is a love that just keeps on giving, a love that comes from God, but it's also a love that conforms us. John 3:17, he says that he didn't come to condemn us. He says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, he conforms and he doesn't condemn. A love worth having will conform us to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Number one point here, a love worth having conforms, not condemns, conforms. What does that mean? Well, he wants to shape us and make us into his image. Now, Paul said in Romans 12:1, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that transformation, that's where we're to be conformed to Jesus Christ. The goal of transformation is to be like Christ. We're to be conformed to Jesus. God is not wanting to condemn you. He wants to save you. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He conforms. Do you know that God doesn't condemn? Why do you condemn yourself? Why do you put yourself down? And why do you condemn other people? Folks, let me tell you something. In Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. You say, well, I'm not so sure if so-and-so is in Jesus Christ. Well, God didn't call you to judge that person's heart. You don't know what's in that person's heart. Amen? And so the thing about all of us is this. We're all in a process of sanctification. No one has arrived, but no one has the right to condemn anybody. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ and not to condemn anyone. And then commands, not control. Commands, not control. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. The word if means it's up to us to love God, right? He always puts that conditional word there, if. If. That means we have to make a choice whether we love God. Mark 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and the second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these, he said. You see, control is manipulation. Control is intimidation. Control is even oppression. To obey Christ as he commands us to love him, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. But then he gives us the choice. Whether we want to love him or not, it's up to us. And you make that choice every day, right? Yeah, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You choose, for this day is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So he commands in his word, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then Christ, not carnality. We're talking about a love worth having conforms. John 12:2, and be not conformed to this world. We don't need the world conforming us. We need Christ to conform us. Carnality is a love stealer. Christ is the love giver. Carnality is that spiritual state which a born-again Christian knowingly and persistently lives to please and serve self rather than Christ. In 2002, a drawing was discovered in what used to be a maid's closet in an art museum. The chalk drawing of a candlestick was one of five drawings sold collectively to a museum in 1940 for just $60. For decades, it sat there in the maid's storage closet until one day a visiting scholar recognized it for what it was. It was an original Michelangelo. Today, it is valued, this same painting is valued at $12 million. It was sold with five others for $60. But today, it is valued at $12 million. What was the difference between the drawing in 2002 and the drawing now? nothing. It's the same drawing it always has been. The only difference is that the artist is now known. And Christ is the love worth knowing and having. Being conformed to Christ makes you worth something. You are a value to God. You may not be a value as you would think in your heart and mind to someone else, but you're a value to God. You're to die for. I like saying that. That you're to die for. He loved you so much that He died for you. How many of you would die for somebody? How many of you would give your son or your daughter for someone else? See, that's the kind of love, and that's why it's hard for us to understand this kind of love, because His love is so unselfish, and ours, by our nature, our love is selfish. Oh, it is. When you really study human love, it's very selfish. And then a love worth having corrects us. God loves us so much that He will not let us get by with anything. Now, folks, it's easy to preach. I mean, you hear it in a lot of pulpits today. God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. But you know, someone who loves you will not only tell you the truth, but they will also correct you. I'm glad I had a mother, and boy, did she know. She, I don't know if she went to school for this, but she knew all about the rod of correction. I tell people growing up, we didn't have to hire a landscaper, and we didn't have to have anyone to ever trim our bushes. There were four boys, and she'd say, "Go get a switch." So our bushes stayed nice and trim year round. I mean, I don't even think we owned hedge clippers. I don't remember any, but our bushes stayed down all the time. I'm not lying either. I'm telling you the truth. You know why? We had a mother that loved us, and she loved us enough. Honestly, we never got by with anything. I think I've told you the story. I grew up on a tobacco farm, and so we thought we'd try one day. So me and my brother, we got out behind the barn. He had the cigarette, I had the match. And I am not lying, no one was around. But Mom said the reason she knew something was up because we were quiet. She said we were so noisy as kids, I guess she came looking. So about the time I just did strike the match, she looked around the barn and said, "Go ahead. If you light that up, I'm going to light both of you up." That's what she said. I'll never forget it. And you know what? To this day, and I'm not trying to condemn no one here. If you smoke, okay, you're the sucker. You know, cigarette smokes. But I've never smoked a cigarette. Not to this day. You know why? She said, "Because if you light that up, I'm going to light you up." And I'm going to tell you, a love worth having is a love that corrects you. Number one, He rebukes us. Revelation 3:19. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Why does God rebuke us so we'll repent? How would we ever repent if God didn't deal with us? If God didn't teach us in His Word? And God help us in the church when we don't own up to the truth and we don't own up to our sin. How could we ever repent if no one ever preaches against sin? I mean, how could we ever come to God if there's never an invitation? I know maybe I'm in another generation. I'm beginning to think that. But folks, this newer generation, no invitation. Don't preach against sin. Make everybody feel good. That's not love. Where's the love? Oh, preacher, those are the churches that are packed out today. Truth is, there is a church. In fact, the largest church in America. And that's what the pastor preaches. God loves you, you love me, we love each other, and we're a happy family, and you're okay, and I'm okay. And I thought I'd go to a school and learn how to smile while I preach. I'm telling you, love tells the truth. Love rebukes us sometimes. I'm glad I had a mother who rebuked me. You know what I thought about me striking that match? That barn is where we put the hay at. Oh, man. And it was old lighter wood. That would have gone up really quick if I'd have just dropped that match, because there was stuff all behind the barn there, too. Thank God that God says, "I'm going to keep you out of hell." Amen. I'll tell you, that's the kind of God we need, the kind of God that says, "I died for you, and I love you, and I paid too dear a price for you to lose you." Hello? That's the thing that God is all about. He loves us enough, He won't let us get by with anything. But then He will tell us the truth, and this is going to hurt, this is going to sting. And we all got to realize this, He's God and we're not. He can remove us. The Bible says in Revelation 2, 4, and 5, He removes us. Because thou hast left thy first love, remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Jesus takes his love relationship with his bride, the church, very seriously. He said to the church at Ephesus, because you have left your first love, unless you repent, I will remove the candlestick. Well, if you want to know the greatest interpretation of Scripture is Scripture. In Revelation, it tells us the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. And by the way, that's the church of today. He says it in verse 20 of chapter 1, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thy sawest are the seven churches. He's talking to us. And he says, you know what? If you're not going to love me, I'll just remove you. God is serious about His love. He loves us so much, He wants us to love Him back. I'll tell you, if you want the definition of what we're doing here this morning, we're here to worship the living God. And in that worship, we're saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's what Jesus said at the cross. I love you, I love you, I love you. And He gave His life, and He died on that cross for you, that you and I might be His church. And according to what He's saying in this scripture, in John 1:20, the candlestick is you, it's me, the church. And then the verse that's taken totally out of context, I mean, I think everybody's done it. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. You know where that's taken out of context so much? We use that in talking about how God deals with a man's heart. He's knocking on the door of their heart. You open the door, let him in. Actually, the proper interpretation of that is the church. That's what he's saying. The first three chapters of Revelation are all about the church today. I'm talking about today. If you read Revelation 1 through 3, it's teaching us about what's going on in our churches today. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm the guy standing outside of the door knocking, wanting to get in. Will somebody come and open the door? Will somebody go back there and open the door and let Jesus in today? How can you do that? A love relationship. It's all about a love. I mean, open up your heart to God. You know, so many times, and I've seen it over the years, how people can get hard toward God and they have unforgiveness and they hold grudges and they want revenge. That shuts the door to Jesus. He won't come in. But I'll tell you where Jesus is, not only there's love, there's forgiveness. There's understanding, there's benefit of the doubt. It's not fault finding. It's not trying to make accusations that are not true. Rather, what it is, it's people who say, hey, I've got the love of God in my heart. I'm a recipient of the grace of God. Therefore, I must too show that grace. It's very serious. He rebukes us out of love. He can remove us, but He restores us. That same love that's worth having that corrects us. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son which He receiveth. Because we have a love worth having as His sons and daughters, He corrects us when we're wrong. In verse 8 of that same chapter of Hebrews 12, says, if He does not correct us, we are illegitimate children. We're illegitimate. That means we're not children of God. Here's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And where you don't see that, God's not there. There's no evidence. There's no fruit that God is at work. No wonder Jesus said, I'll be standing outside of the door of the church and I'll be knocking. I'll come in if you'll love me. Hello? How does He want to be loved? With all of His heart, with all of our soul, all our mind. He wants us to love Him as He loves us. wholeheartedly. And then last, and I'm done, a love worth having calls us. He's not going to give up. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. God's call is a call to love. Number one, a love worth having calls us to oneness. Jesus prayed to his Father in John 17:21, that they all may be one as thy Father are in me and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. I want to ask you something, church. Do you believe the world around us believes that God sent Jesus? They don't. You know why? Because we're not loving the lost to Jesus. I think that's what I'm going to preach the last Sunday. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach about a mother's love. Then the last Sunday, I think that's the last Sunday, May. I'm going to preach on, because this is a huge thing that we're doing right now at Southern Baptist. Who's your one? So I'm going to show you a little video of J.D. Greer talking about who's your one. And the question is, are we going to love the lost to Jesus? If we don't get out of our comfort zone, you know what? The church today, every church, I don't know of a church, that we're so focused on us that we're going to let the world die and go to hell. God has called us. And here's how he said, I want you to love one another so that they will see that I am sent from God and they will know you are me, how you love one another. 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. I'm going to tell you what the big deal about this. I'm going to read it again. He says, and in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. How will the world believe if we don't show them? Because the only Bible they're ever going to read is not this one. Are y'all looking up here? They're not reading this. They're going to read this. That's what they're reading. And buddy, don't you think they don't read you. Your neighbor knows where you are right now. Yeah, they do. My neighbors know. You know why? Because we told them. We go to church. We told the people on the right, the people on the left. The people on the left, I think they're Catholic. Is that right? Oh, they're from England. Well, we're working on them anyhow. One on the right, we told them. We said, all right, Don's Trash Company in Gourd Springs. Come and be with us. Well, I do advertise for Don. You know. Anyway, I don't even know if Don's here. There he is. Here. So here's the thing. If I can tell my neighbor, I'm trying to help him out. Well, there's a trash service, Don's Trash Service. I mean, people ask you, you know, you tell your neighbor, why can't we tell them about Jesus? I mean, if I can tell them about Don, surely I can tell. Well, I'm not ashamed of Don. Well, I'm certainly not ashamed of Jesus. Amen. I mean, Don don't give me no discount, but Jesus does. Amen. He said he would if I told my neighbor. Here's the deal. God wants us to love our neighbor, right? Then love them to Jesus. You say, preacher, that's difficult. Look up here. I know. It's not easy. But you know, may it be said at the end of the day that we loved them. Oneness and then obedience. Jesus says, he that loves me will obey me. John 14:15, if you love me, then you'll keep my words. The call to love is a call to obedience. 1 John 4:11, if God so loved us, we ought, there's the call, ought also to love one another. He wants us, look, if there is one word that I know that stands out in Scripture, is this little word. You know what God wants? Look up here, folks. He wants you to do what he said just because he said so. I mean, you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I've got to understand. There's a lot about, look, I don't even understand why God loves me. Hello? I don't know why he loves me. I don't deserve his love. Do you deserve his love? But the fact is, here's the fact. Listen, I'm about done. He loves you, and he says, now obey me, love one another. That's what he said. Just do it because of who said it. He said so. You know, that's the way I grew up. Boy, I learned that. I don't know if that's faith or fact or whatever it is, but my mother would always say, just do it because I said so. Because you know what? She was saying, I don't need to explain the why. I'm the mama here. You say, well, why do you always talk about your mom? My mom was tough. I mean, whatever she said, you did it. Yeah. So I got Mother's Day on my mind. All right, last word, and this is a good word. You want a word to go out on that's going to pick you up, overcome. This is a good word. If you'll look down in chapter 5 of that same book, 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. It says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." You want to be an overcomer? Then meet the one who overcame. He overcame sin, death, and the grave. And because he overcame, you can overcome. Don't let no fool fool you. Don't let nobody mess your life up. Don't listen to the lies of the world. Don't listen to the lies of the flesh. Don't listen to even your own self. You may have a low self-esteem. God loves you, and that's the truth. Amen. And you are an overcomer. Oh, if we could just get a little bit of this. How about, let me just give you a little bit of this. Here's just a little bit. Romans 8:37 is just a little bit. "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He is our overcomer. He overcame sin, death, and the grave. And because he lives, we live also. You want to be an overcomer, then meet the one who overcame. Amen. It's a love worth having. God has called us out of darkness into light. He's called us out of sin into salvation. He's called us out of fear into faith. He's called us out of lies into love. You overcome darkness, how? With light. You overcome lies, how? With truth. You overcome sin, how? By the blood of Jesus Christ. You overcome hate, how? With love. And love never fails. That's the sermon. Let me tell you something. We got a love worth talking about. But you know what? Look up here and I'm done. God don't want us to just talk about it. He wants us to live it. You know, talk is cheap. We're going to give the invitation now. I can get up here all day and tell you that God loves you. Look up here. Will you receive it? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Let me tell you something about hell. It's a place you don't want to go. Some people don't believe it's real. It's real. Hell is a real place. There's just no place like hell. 7 times hotter than fire. The rich man prayed, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus just to cool my tongue. I'm in such torment." And there's no reason any person needs to go to hell. Someone said, "How can a loving God allow anyone to go to hell?" Well, a loving God has never allowed anyone to go to hell. You go to hell because you reject a loving God. He loves you. Will you receive him today? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love for us, that it's unconditional, and it's a love that can never fail. It's a love worth having. And I pray if there's one today who's never received your Savior and Lord, that the day would be the day they'd let go of any pride, any sin, anything about self-interest, not worried about what people think, but more concerned about what you think. God, you love every single person here today, more than we could ever imagine. You love us so much that we're to die for. You gave your Son to die for every person. And if we reject that kind of love, then we make the choice to spend eternity in hell. You didn't send us there. We sent ourselves there because we rejected your love. Oh, God, would you just put your arms around that person who maybe they've just been lying to themselves. They didn't feel like they were worth anything. They didn't feel like they were worth being loved. Satan's got them so fixed in their ideas of what love is, and their judgment is so cloudy because of sin. God, today would your wonderful, marvelous love light shine upon their hearts. And I pray today that someone will trust you as Savior and Lord. This is your invitation. And God, I'm so thankful for a church who still gives an invitation, because you said whosoever will may come. We open up these aisles to you now, oh God. This is your church. These are your people. And I pray that the convicting, wooing power of your Holy Spirit would be real here today. May your love overcome in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing. You come today just as you are. You come.